Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, we have Dr. Joel Schultz, retired as the chief of police. Thank you so much for being back on the show, Dr. Schultz. Also, Lieutenant Chuck Springer, formerly LAPD. Now he's close to me over in the Florida side of the country. Thanks for being on the show, Chuck. And also Randy Sutton, retired lieutenant, Las Vegas Metro Police Department. Needs no introduction. He's also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. So thanks, guys, so much for being here. A shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls.com, Complete Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we're in the middle of our fifth week on satellite radio. Exciting stuff. Just got picked up by a new radio station. I'm going to get those call letters and hopefully announce them tomorrow. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. We're reaching about 1.5 million streamers right now. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press. Thanks for hearing our content. Reed Dietrich, FormerLawman.com, and LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? I tell you, we got some great news items. The first two are main stories. And as everybody knows by now, they pretty much have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. We got two of them. So ICE's operation, it's Operation Patriot. It nabs nearly how many illegal immigrants? And this is in a sanctuary city, 1,500. Wow. Yeah. A huge operation. We're going to be talking about that. Some people aren't happy about that one. And then we've got another one, DOJ cutting American Bar Association access to judicial nominees. That is all our Attorney General Pam Bondi. That's got some people highly upset. And Dr. Schultz, I'm hoping that you can add a little bit more info on that and dummy it down for some of the rest of us, since you're used to covering this stuff. We got Supreme Court tosses the ruling against Minneapolis officer in the George Floyd riot case. We haven't seen something like this happen in a while, especially with George Floyd case. And then we've got a wanted attempted murder suspect pulls out a knife. He's shot and killed by Kern County deputies. I swear it looks like one of them gets stabbed in the video. And then we've got another one where a cop should have been stabbed, but looks like he wasn't. A woman fatally shot by Orange County deputies here in Florida, where she attacked a deputy with a knife. Two back to back. We got Casper police releasing footage of a fatal shooting of a homeowner during response to a burglary call. Another female getting shot by the cops, and justifiably so. Let me throw that in there. Then we got a domestic violence suspect shot by police when he holds an object in a shooting stance after a pursuit. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to unpile, assuming that we have time to get to everything. So look, let's go in and start off with the first one. We've got about 9 minutes before we take our first commercial break. So this first story, main topic, it's at rvmnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. ICE's Operation Patriot, they nabbed nearly 1,500 illegal immigrants in one sanctuary state. So of course, ICE, they confirmed the completion of its largest immigration enforcement operation to date. It's 1,461 illegals were arrested in the state of Massachusetts and the greater Boston area. You got to love it. The operation, it ran through the month of May under the name of Operation Patriot. It targeted individuals with significant criminal backgrounds and those that were under final orders of removal. And according to ICE, 790 of these people arrested, just under 800, they either had criminal convictions or pending criminal convictions, while 277, close to 300, had previously received final deportation orders. But guess what? They didn't go. The agency stated that the operation was carried out in response to Massachusetts and Boston's sanctuary policies. Gotta love it, which limit cooperation with federal immigration enforcement, but they did it anyhow. And here's a quote saying that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is a safer place today, thanks to the hard work and determination of the men and women of ICE and our federal partners. And this is from ICE Enforcement and Removal Operations, which is ERO, their Boston Acting Field Office Director, Patricia Hyde. So thank you, Patricia, because those citizens, even though they want to live in a sanctuary city, they're all safer thanks to what the feds did, nothing that the state did. Working together, we were able to arrest almost 1,500 illegal aliens throughout the Commonwealth, most of whom had significant criminality in the United States or abroad, according to the field office director. So, wow, pretty substantial. Any commentary? You know, it's kind of sad that we, the taxpayers, had to pay the feds to do this, and the people that are living in this sanctuary city dump don't want to make their communities better and make it safer. And now we just cleaned it up for them. Lieutenant Randy.
Well, you know, DHS and the Trump administration are making a very big statement here when they go into Boston, because that, of course, is the is a hotbed of the liberal madness that has attached itself to this issue. So you know there's a lot of gnashing of teeth in the hierarchy of the political environs in Boston today as a result of this. And good on you. I love it.
Yeah, you gotta love it. If there's no more commentary, we have another one back to back here. So let's go to our second main topic. And I love this one, guys. Now, look, I got two sources here. You know, I always preach about copying COVID at copyandcovid.com. And it's just the URL. It's just like it sounds. And it's attorney Jeff Childers, who's in Gainesville, Florida, writes this. He started off with COVID topics, very enlightening. That's why I was not on the COVID bandwagon. That's why if you go to my Facebook page, it says not vaccinated on it because of the information coming down from that website that we know as a lot of it is fact now. And now he does political commentary, very insightful stuff. I also got the article that was also covered on thehill.com, but it's DOJ cutting American Bar Association access to judicial nominees. Now, what does that mean? There's some stuff in here that a lot of people may not realize. And I got to be honest with you, I did not realize all this either. So the Hill, and look, Childers, let me prepare you. He's a little humorous when he writes. I love him. I'm trying to get him on the show. The Hill ran an encouraging story headline, DOJ cutting American Bar Association access to judicial nominees. And he talks about how the new Attorney General Pam Bondi made the announcement. Now, in Bondi's letter, it officially ejected the American Bar Association from its decades-long perch as a gatekeeper of federal judicial nominations. I did not know that. With all the, they were as subtle as a boot in the face, he says. Now, in short, Trump is not going to argue with the ABA, American Bar Association. He's cutting the mic and tossing the ABA's podium out the West Wing's top floor window. That's pretty good. Since Trump 1.0, the ABA, American Bar Association, has rated nearly every Trump judicial nomination as quote, unqualified, unquote. And for decades before that, the ABA has enjoyed special access and privileges related to presidential judicial nominations, confidentiality waivers to get private bar records, one-on-one interviews with judicial nominees. It talks about deep diving surveys that nominees must answer. They've had all that access. Bondi canceled all of it like that, casting the ABA down into, listen to this. So Bondi's cast the ABA, American Bar Association, down into Dante's lowest level of judicial hell, which is reserved for loony Soros-funded activist outfits like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Wow. You can't write anything better than that. So thank you, Attorney Jeff Childers. I love it. So guys, this is a major stuff. And I know that, you know, look, I know Pam Bondi. I haven't talked to her about the situation or anything, but I'm smart enough to know that the people in her circles, there's a lot of ABA, American Bar Association. I mean, she's an attorney, right? Prosecutor. She was attorney general here in Florida, and now she's the attorney general. So these are a lot of her her peers that are affected by this, the ABA and stuff. I'm sure that people are being rubbed the wrong way on this, but I absolutely love it. What do you guys think? I think she doesn't care. She's doing it anyhow, the right thing. Dr. Schultz, why don't you start us off?
You know, I like most Americans, I roll my eyes at a lot of stuff that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth, and the whole swamp thing and deep state stuff. But my gosh, we're just finding more and more tentacles of things that are just incestuous and dark influences and this stuff about the Bar Association and their grip on judicial nominees is another one of those things. And I hate to see all this stuff come true, but I think that was a good move and very enlightening for the public.
Yeah, I mean, enlightening for me. I got to admit, Chuck, I saw your mic open for a second. You want to weigh in?
Yeah, sure. I think Dr. Joel's on point here. You know, and it's not just the ABA, and Chief Schultz mentioned, it's a lot of organizations, NPR, the educational system in the country, especially the university system. These organizations have become infected with socialistic-leaning actors, and they've lost objectivity, in my opinion. They're very subjective, and bravo to the Trump administration for doing this.
Yeah, there's heads are going to, we're going to be hearing about this for a while. The people that are going to be complaining about this, Randy Sutton.
So I have a personal story about the American Bar Association.
Oh.
So I contacted them and had multiple meetings with them about helping the wounded police officers of this nation with legal advice.
Wow.
And we actually came up with a contract where they were going to, there were members of the ABA who were going to provide free legal advice and consultation to injured officers across the country. And I've worked on this for a year. Literally, the week we're supposed to sign it, George Floyd happens. And guess what the ABA did? They contacted me with I'm going to say very rude conversation, and wow, they pulled their support of injured officers. So as far as the ABA goes, we can't say it on the air, but
I get it.
Thinking.
I get it. Wow. All right. Chief Schultz, final words. We've got about a few seconds before we go to the commercial break here, but,
No, you know what Chuck mentioned about rational thinking. My career was ruined by assuming that people would look at the facts and make a decision, and I've suffered for that assumption.
Pam Bondi, keep killing it up there. We love you for doing it. Guys, it's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us. It's going to get really, really good. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources, right? And especially if we're looking online. But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement, and that would not be the Florida Bar. So I don't know of a company that fits that bill more than Gauls at Gauls.com. Their motto is even proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Now, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor and go to Gauls.com and listen to this. They're going to do you guys one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code. It's radio15. And with that code, you get automatically 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com until June the 31st. Again, that's radio15 at Gauls.com until June 31st to get 15% off. And also, they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with the new Gauls gift cards. They'll be your new best friends, Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, I love the commercial breaks because I get to find out how these guys roll and how Randy's telling, you know, stories about getting stuck in elevators with meth addicts, you know, that are almost toothless and all kinds of stuff. So wrapping up what we've been talking about, we talked about the ICE raid in the Boston area, about 1,500 people. And then we talked about our favorite Attorney General Pam Bondi clipping the wings of the American Bar Association, their access to judicial nominees, who, of course, they have not been approving or endorsing since Trump's been around. Dr. Joel Schultz, final words?
You caught me off guard there.
Well, your mic was open, so I thought you were waiting to talk about it.
Oh, no, I just forgot. That was part of my dream state.
Okay, don't tease me, doctor. Don't tease me.
I'm still just, kind of having an out-of-body experience being on the show.
I'm looking at the screen. I think it's the altitude.
Yeah, that's 6,000 feet. That's a 13,000-foot mountain there in the background. So it could be lack of oxygen.
I love it. I love it. Well, if you guys are ready, you know, we have an update story that I'm going to hold if it's okay with you, because we got a couple stories with video components that I simply can't wait. These are the ones involving the knife attacks that are just we need to talk about. And if we can just help save one officer, it's all worth it. So if you guys are okay with that, I'm going to jump to a couple stories with video components. Let me just say that for our Audible listeners, you know, podcast, radio station, please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content, because in return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, and that might happen in a couple of these videos today, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable, or you can also type in Law Enforcement Talk Show and it'll pop up. And producer Will takes a special version of this live show and he'll put it up on our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, but he'll put it up after he embeds every video that we talk about. As we talk about it, he'll also put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. It's really a neat way to watch a show. It's not live, but just a little while after the live show, 9 o'clock the next morning, you get to watch it. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, a wanted attempted murder suspect who pulled out a knife is shot and killed by Kern County deputies.
Get on the fucking ground right now. Get on the ground. You got a warrant.
Get on the ground right now.
Get on the fucking ground.
Get on the ground right now.
Get on the. Do not reach for your fucking hand.
Take your hand out of your pocket right now.
You're going to get tased.
I'll take it out. Who do you think I am?
Get on the ground.
Who do you think I am? Who do you think I am?
Now, this goes down fast. A lot of commands. It's a big police presence here. We're in Bakersfield, California. So this is over, you know, in Chuck Springer's neck of the woods. April the 17th, 9:40 in the morning, Kern County Sheriff's Office deputies, they get a report of a 22-year-old named Joshua Pritchard at Bell Terrace Park. Now, Pritchard, a bad guy, he had an active warrant for attempted murder. A deputy makes contact with the victim, not the suspect, the victim, and they go to the park to get the bad guy. At 10:04 a.m., the deputy identifies a subject at Bell Terrace Park, and he matches the description of the bad guy. So in the video that we're watching, the deputy, he screams at Pritchard, literally gets out of his cruiser, screams at Pritchard to get on the ground. And as he's doing that, we got additional cruisers coming in, and they're all along the path that the bad guy's taking. So the cop that rolls up and starts giving commands to the bad guy, he's at one end. You got one cop pulling up in like in the middle of where the bad guy's walking, and then another cop parking past the bad guy. And he's got a chain link fence that he's walking alongside, so he can't go in that direction. So he's either got to go towards one of the deputies rolling up, or he's got to try that run past them, right? So the deputy, well, in the video, deputy screaming at our bad guy Pritchard to get on the ground, and then Pritchard ends up pulling a knife. And then we've got, you know, the story kind of jumps. It says deputies fire their weapons, hitting Pritchard multiple times, and he dies at the scene. But there's a lot more that goes on that they're kind of leaving out. So we got one deputy approaching him, and the deputy's got a firearm, his duty-issued firearm in his right hand, a pistol. But the bad guy starts to run, and he's got the knife in his hand, but he kind of pulls it out as he's running. But the deputy reaches, and he extends with his left arm, thinking he can grab the bad guy's left hand as he's running. And in the right hand, the bad guy's got a knife that's arguably out of sight of that cop. And so he turns around, and I swear we got a ton. We got like, what, four or five cops there. We got tons of body cam footage in slow motion, real time. It's crazy. Great footage, great quality. I swear it looks like our cop ends up grabbing the blade of the knife with his right hand. And he almost certainly would have got, you know, cut if that would have happened. But they say no one got injured. So I'm just throwing that out there. That's what it looked like to me. But they light this guy up. He goes down. The first cop in the body cam with the taser in his hand, he goes down. And the cop that looked like he grabbed onto the knife with the blade when the guy's trying to stab him in the face, he goes down. I mean, we got tons of people going down and stuff. But only they say one guy got, you know, killed, the bad guy, and only one guy got injured. So what do you guys think about this one? We've got a little over 2 minutes before we take our next commercial break. Whoever wants to start us off. And Chuck Springer, I mean, you're from California. You used to do critical incident reviews and stuff. So I'm kind of curious what you think. And maybe you can tell us about this this area, too.
Well, I'm not that familiar with Kern County. My only experience with Kern County is driving on I-5 going from the Bay Area to Southern California back and forth. But as you mentioned, the incident kind of spins up real quick. I noticed, if I'm not mistaken, as the OIS is happening, one of the body-worn video captures one of the officers. He's got a taser and his firearm in one hand. Oh. Again, I don't know at what point he pulled the taser out. I don't know if there was an opportunity to deploy the taser, because this thing really spins up quickly. The one officer is approaching very close to the suspect with his gun out. I would prefer that he, you know, either holster up at that point and make sure somebody else is covering down on this suspect. You're getting real close. It's almost not necessarily reminding me of, but what could be similar to the Fountain Valley incident, where the gal has her gun out and the suspect just grabs it because they're that close. Another minor critique, and I think the OIS itself is in policy legally and both administratively, but a lot of guys given commands. You really got to discipline yourself down, because the suspect, when people are screaming, you have multiple officers screaming like that, it's very confusing, not only for the suspect, but for the other officers at scene as well.
Good point. And I know we're coming up on a commercial break here, but let me just point at you. Well, for our audience, when Lieutenant Chuck says OIS, it's officer involved shooting. And also our bad guy was wearing a sweatshirt with a hood and everything. And so when I think of taser, I think of not really maybe the ideal clothing to be wearing when you're trying to successfully deploy the probes. But hey, commercial break, our second one, we'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their, remember this name, CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention and transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, it virtually eliminates weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on approaches and solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. And if you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up actually today, warrantless home entries. You can sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We've got Dr. Joel Schultz. We've got Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Lieutenant Chuck Springer, all on the show today. We just got done talking about an incident where we've got a bad guy. He's wanted for attempted murder, and the cops roll up, and they've got a lot of cops. And this guy's walking along a fence line, so he's kind of limited on where he can run. He's got the cops on one side, the fence on the other, and he pulls out a knife and tries to outrun them. One cop reaches to grab him. He pulls out the knife and tries to stab the cop. I got to admit, it looked like in at least a couple of the videos, the body cams, and they were high quality body cams. It looked like the bad guy was trying to stab the cop that was trying to grab him from the rear. And it almost, to me, it looked like the cop ended up grabbing the blade to keep it away from his face. But they say no one got cut and no one got injured except for the bad guy. He got shot and he ended up dying. So that's where we left off. And we were getting some commentary on that. Chief Schultz, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Chuck's observation about maybe a lot of these operations, I'm impressed with cops who, you know, one person's in charge, one person speaks. They've already got some pre-planned operational stuff. And, you know, bless their hearts, I didn't really see a lot of that in this particular operation. You know, and another thing, and people will poo-poo this idea, but this idea that you can't just say get on the ground, you have to say get on the effing ground. Yeah. I'm not just a blue nose that says it looks bad to the public. In fact, I think that word is going to become innocuous in the next generation because it's so overused. But I think we've kind of trained people, officers, to say that because they're exposed to so many of these body cam footages, and it's just kind of the thing to do. And so, and all kinds of language is available to us as a potential tool. But my question is, what does that add? If it adds to, this is how you know I am very serious about this and you better comply, I get it. But if it's, I'm now so scared that I'm using this kind of language, then it really conveys something quite the opposite of what you want to. And that may be a tangent that nobody wants to talk about, but it's just something that I see very frequently. I always taught my academy students, I say, rehearse your commands. You don't want to be an impromptu extemporaneous speaker when you're trying to give commands. You've got three or four things that you're going to say to virtually everybody. And make sure you can say that without stuttering or without variation and very confidently without having to think about it. So just a thought.
Chief, I think that the profanity started with Las Vegas Metro and then it kind of carried over to the rest of the country. You know, I think that's how that started. I have that on good authority. See, Rain, I have to, that's what I have to do in order to get Randy to open up his microphone. That's pretty sad, but yeah, but it worked.
Well, you know, I can't say I've never said that, but it's a tool. It's very utilitarian. If I'm talking to somebody and that's the only language they get in the moment, that's what it gets. But, you know, if you don't have that delay button ready for Randy when we go live, then
it's not, you know, my profanity filter's not hooked up yet. So hopefully Randy will take care of me. Go ahead, Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
Well, if I will share with you a video of my most famous Cops episode where I coined the phrase, and I wish I had trademarked it. Let me see your hands, mister. So I'm going to send that to you.
And that was on Cops.
That was okay. On Cops.
All right.
It was a good one. I'm going to send it to you.
They're all good.
Was that an edited statement? It was just let me see your hands, or was there a pause there?
So if you go to YouTube and put the word Cops and then Randy Sutton, that episode will show up first. And it's a good one.
Oh, okay. Well, look, there you go.
I had a great epic 80s porno mustache, too.
You got to love it. All right. Well, if you guys are ready, we got another video coming up. Another. Like, am I alone here thinking that it looked like that cop might have got stabbed, or am I the only guy thinking that? Or did anyone else think that if he didn't, you know, they missed a good opportunity? I mean, it was like crazy close, right, Chief?
That was an instinctual move. It was not a move that came out of training. It was not a wise move. And why, if he didn't get cut, I can't imagine why. He's very fortunate.
Yeah. Chuck?
Yeah, I ended up on it. I didn't see him come. I saw him come very close to the knife. Okay. I didn't pick up on him actually making contact with the knife.
Man, I'm hoping not. Yeah, I was doing freeze frames and everything, and I was like, wow, how did that not happen? So look, jumping ahead, we've got another story, a video component, rumble.com. Again, our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is Butter. This is Butter's got all the coolest videos. They come out way before anybody else gets them. If I go to a site, like, and I hate to even mention Police One's name because they use, you know, the Associated Press for everything. But, you know, when I see a video popping up on Police One, I've already seen it at least a day earlier, sometimes 2 days earlier. Yeah, this is Butter's channel at rumble.com. So I love it. So a woman is fatally shot by Orange County deputies when she attacked a deputy with a knife.
Brief.
Calm down.
But that's not exactly how it went down. I mean, she did do that, but this was all set. It was a setup. Orange County, Florida. So the only downside of the story is that it's just going to give ammunition to people like, you know, Randy Sutton, about the people that live in Florida, about the crazies living here. Yeah, just remember that Chuck and I both are in Florida. So Chuck, hopefully you're going to take up for your peeps here. So the Orange County Sheriff's Office on Thursday released body cam footage showing deputies fatally shooting a woman following a 911 call. So it's 11 o'clock at night, May the 7th. Orange County Sheriff's Office, they get a 911 call, and it's somebody claiming they have been battered and strangled. It's a female. So the caller was later identified as 19-year-old Vanessa Eugene. So she's young. She's only 19. Officers are dispatched to a second-floor apartment unit. When they get there, they hear screaming from the inside of the apartment, but I don't really like the way that this is written, because I think that it's written inaccurately. So let me just tell you what I get from the body cam. They get there, they hear a female crying, they end up breaching the door, and then they wait about 6 minutes. And then all of a sudden, they hear screaming from a female that's back deep in the house. It ends up being in a bedroom. And finally, after 6 minutes, they make entry. And when she was screaming, they thought that she was screaming for help, is what they thought. And so we got body cam footage and all the stuff, including the breach of the door and stuff. So now they enter in and they go all the way back. They clear the apartment as they're going through it. Smart, because you remember, you're thinking that there's an intruder in there, and you know, you got to be careful. They go all the way back to a bedroom. And so it's the only area left in the apartment that they haven't cleared. So they all pile into it. And you've got a closed door. It ends up being a bathroom door, but it's a small little bedroom. And you've got a cop that is against the wall. It's a cramped like a apartment bedroom, but he got a cop against the wall. He's got a long gun, and I believe it looked. I'm not sure if it was a shotgun or maybe it was a beanbag gun, but he had a long gun pointed at that. The only downside would be if that somebody on the other on the inside of that door would have had a projectile that could have penetrated that wooden door. He would have been in the line of fire, but they didn't have a lot of room. But you had at least three cops in there, and then the other two guys. I know that one guy had a pistol, and I'm not sure what the guy closest to that door had. And then we actually had a fourth cop that had a battering ram that was going to ram this door. So they're yelling commands for the person behind that door, you know, to come out. They don't. So the guy with the battering ram, they give him the signal, and he goes in and he hits it. Well, the door it goes in it, and the door opens to the inside anyhow. But there's obviously someone on the other side of the door keeping it from opening up all the way, and it slams shut. But there's a huge hole now in the door from the battering ram. So the guy does one or two more, and the door opens up, and you got this female that comes charging out. It's our complainant, and she's got the knife in her hand. It's raised to her head, and she charges at the cop that's wearing the body cam that's got a pistol in his hand. And I'm waiting for the dude with the long gun. I hear nothing. And she's all over this dude with the body cam with a knife just going at it, right? And then finally they light her up and she later dies. But that's the way it goes down. It is like, wow, it is like there's a lot of drama on this one. So I'm giving you guys 2 minutes to talk about this, but that's the way it goes down. I didn't hear shots as soon as I would have expected to. Randy Sutton, talk about this one.
Wow, this was like one of those weird Fright Night horror shows where this banshee comes screaming out of this bathroom, you know, in a full run towards these cops. It was crazy. And, you know, in viewing this, you know, to try and ascertain what the, you know, if she has the weapon while she's running at you, this really shows how these situations escalate so quickly. And, you know, it's shocking to me that nobody got stabbed, because I mean, she came full bore right for that officer, and you know, trying to assess the threat and determine if she's got a weapon or not. These guys, you know, thank goodness nobody got hurt except for the bad guy. And, well, she won't be doing that again.
I'm glad you said that, Randy, because Randy just said trying to assess. So just to put the viewer or the listener in this room, I got to admit, I didn't know what she had in her hand. Their first thought was, we got a screaming victim trying to get away from the bad guy that's got her in the bathroom, you know? And so and she's moving so fast and, you know, trying to see what she's got in her hand. So I'm not criticizing the cops for not shooting. I was surprised no one shot, because, you know, sometimes they're quick on the trigger, but yeah. And look, I'm looking, we got 15 seconds, and I hate to cut it off here, but we're going to cover this when we come back, guys. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Accidental discharges, injuries, civil lawsuits, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're listening to the show or watching us and you've got your own agency, your chief or sheriff, they've got a deal for you. Founder Dana Kelly has put it together where you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable, leoroundtable.com, a law enforcement talk show talking about today's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective. My name is Chip the Block. We've got Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief, Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, Lieutenant Chuck Springer from LAPD. I think we got the full gamut on everything covered. And we have been talking about, you know, we have two uses of forces involving bad guys. Well, this last one was a bad girl, but they had knives, where the cops almost surely could have been stabbed and it would have been bad. And apparently they were not. It's just a miracle. This last one, the female bad girl calls 911, and she gets the cops to show up, says that there was an intruder. And but when they get there, she ends up being by herself, and she's got the door closed in a bathroom. They clear the whole apartment, but she's screaming, and they come back there thinking that she's under attack. She's just by herself with a knife. And then they try a battering ram, trying to force that door open. She comes barreling out, screaming at the top of her lungs with a knife in her hand, charges one of the cops. And I don't know how he didn't get stabbed, because there was definitely a fight going on where she's trying to stab him. And they end up firing rounds, and she ends up dying. And that's the way that ends. So that's what we were talking about before we went to commercial break. More commentary on that one, gentlemen. Chuck Springer.
Yeah, you know, Randy alluded to it, but this is a really good example of how lickety-split somebody can get on you. You know, I'm not surprised that nobody fired initially, because you got that recognition time. You probably don't see the knife right away. And I mean, she's literally out of there, you know, like a gazelle. And by the time you might notice that you have an opportunity to shoot, there's a natural, you've created a natural crossfire environment. You got officers at the door and at two corners of the room. The minute she gets halfway across that room, you're now in a full crossfire situation with everybody. I mean, yeah, they're fortunate. I don't have a lot of criticism with how they're deployed in there. It's just a small area, and you're just stuck with the environment that you're handed. And you know, they have to take action, because they don't know if somebody's being hurt in there, right? They're responding to a call where they're assuming there's two people in there, and one's the victim of some kind of crime. So to stand off and try to go verbal, you know, for long periods of time, I don't know that that's a good idea, you know. But again, not privileged to the investigation, officer statements, you know, a lot of the evidence, et cetera, et cetera.
Thank you. Excellent. Randy Sutton.
You know, I just want to point out one thing, that there was clearly somebody in charge. I don't know if it was a sergeant or a senior officer, but they had the guy who was calling the shots, you know, breach her up and, you know, making the entry. Good supervisory stuff there. Leader, like I said, I don't know if it was a sergeant or a senior officer, but they did a great job.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, we don't see, there's some things we just don't see a lot of, Chief. You know, we don't see a lot of long guns, at least, and when we do see them, a lot of times they're not in the cockpit of the car where the cops have easy access to them. And the other thing is that, and I'm not trying to be overly critical, because I suspect they probably did not have a ballistic shield, but it might have been handy in this particular situation, when I'm talking about the guy with the long gun that was on the other side of the doorway from the bathroom. That's what when he had that long gun, I was looking at his position and thinking about the trajectory from anything being fired at that door. If he had a ballistic shield, that could have put him in a lot better position. But they may, you know, look, when I work, nobody was carrying ballistic shields, you know, so I don't even know they had one readily available. I suspect they probably didn't, because it looked like Randy said, these guys had it well planned out, and they looked like they knew what they were doing. And you operate with the tools that you have and off the knowledge that you have at the time. But Chief Schultz.
You know, the guy with the rifle, if it was a rifle, might have been ready to do a headshot in a hostage situation, because the confusing factor in this is I think, as everybody has said, is we thought there was an innocent victim in there. And maybe that, and I put in my notes horror film, because it really was just crazy. And okay, is that the victim fleeing, or is that, you know, the bad person? I thought the teamwork was great. Whoever had the foresight to bring a breaching tool into that particular call, you know, turned out to be pretty brilliant. The breacher, you know, I'm sure he was aiming for the lock, but didn't want to get too much in front of that hollow core door.
Good point.
So actually the hole in the middle of the door was, you know, kind of counterproductive. And I guess another tangent, you know, I always think about these rabbit trails. I'm just looking at before they got to the room, as they were searching through the idea of light management. I'm not sure we do enough training and experience on that. You know, some are gun mounted lights and some are, handheld flashlights, and you've got backlighting and shadows and light blindness and, the transition from dark to light, really complex, confusing kind of environment going through that, that initial building search.
Yeah, excellent commentary, guys. You know what? Let's. We've got a few minutes here, and I don't want to miss the opportunity to tell people about. Well, we got two people with books, and Rainey has got his. It's just been released. It's been on the number one best-selling list, and we've also got the summit coming up, and we're going to be talking about the Wounded Blue at the tail end of this. But Randy, let's talk about Rescuing 911.
You know, so it came out about 2 months ago, hit number one bestseller pretty quickly, which I'm very proud of. And it is a perfect book for people who want to understand how we got into this criminal justice crisis, how we got here. And it's very easy to read. I've had some great commentary on it. And I urge anybody that cares about America, pick up this book, Rescuing 911, The Fight for America's Safety. And it also is a call to action for people who care about this country to get involved, to become activists, even if that activism is only getting your butt to the polls and putting people in office that need to be there. So that's that's Rescuing 911. And the fifth annual National Law Enforcement Survival Summit is coming up here in Vegas, September 22nd through the 26th. And this is going to be another amazing, every aspect of surviving a law enforcement career, emotionally, mentally, relationships. It's very, very powerful stuff. Every cop in America should come to this. It's the National Law Enforcement Survival Summit. Go to thewoundedblue.org and register today.
Love it. Love it. Now, Dr. Joel Schultz, we've been covering his material for quite a while, and you've got a lot of books that you've written. And I know that you were offering some of those available a couple of weeks ago. And I see you've got your Gmail address on the screen as well. So, so Dr. Joel Schultz, what do you have on your hands?
Well, first of all, let me speak to Randy's book. I ordered it. I read it. It was about a 3-hour read for me, straight through. The thing I love about that book is it names names. And Obama is one of the names that he names, the root of a lot of this dissension. So it's very good. And I attended the Wounded Blue Summit. I had to leave early, but I was there last year in Las Vegas. Super well run, man. Bring some Kleenex. It can be a life changing experience. And I just love heroes and I love survivors. And I've written about police officer victimization a lot because, you know, we talk about dying in the line of duty and death benefits, and those things are absolutely critical and vital. But the lostness of people who get hurt on the job is just beyond tragic. And Randy and a lot of other organizations are addressing that, but he's gotten a lot of traction and really appreciate that so much. As far as my little book, I'm going to give away one of these for somebody that contacts me today. It's called Forward I Go, 366 daily readings. It's a great Father's Day gift. The reason I'm saying today is because I think I can get it in the mail and get it out before Father's Day. It's also a great Law Enforcement Academy graduation gift. So if you want one of those, let me know. They're pretty cheap, cheaper than Randy's book.
And I'm looking at the website. The email address, it's schultzco@gmail.com. So schultzco@gmail.com, correct?
That's it.
Schultzco. All right. You got to love that. So that's an excellent offer. So hopefully someone will take you up on that, Chief. And I know that we're kind of, you know, winding things down, but it's been another fantastic show. Thank you so much, Chief Joel Schultz and Lieutenant Randy Sutton and Lieutenant Chuck Springer. Don't go anywhere yet, guys, because I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and I'll tell you the pressure because he's on the show and I'm doing a live spiel on this, but I'm not reading. I'm doing it off the top of my head, but I got the energy drink, so it's okay. But the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they still have that, I have it on good authority, the Guitars for Cops special going for $1,000.
Negative.
Oh, really?
Guitars for Cops is gone.
That's why it's so important to jump on the bandwagon when these things are available. Okay. All right. So that's gone, but there will be more things coming up, more opportunities to get involved. And I do donate monthly to the Wounded Blue because I know they're not going to embarrass me. Guys, a shout out to our sponsors. We've got Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, AmedicareLifeSaveByRecruiting, and TwoBells.com. Thanks so much for support our sponsors. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.